We have a very special show today and a very special guest, and I want to start by announcing a huge event that we have coming up, and you can be part of it on September 21st, 2016 from 7 a.m. Pacific to 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 12 straight hours. I'm going to be doing the Kill the Keynote Marathon on Facebook Live. Kill the Keynote Marathon. That's going to be the hashtag. Kill the Keynote. For 12 hours straight, I'm going to be broadcasting out, answering questions on the five categories of leadership and all things leadership related. Authentic leadership in action, culture, purpose, leadership development, emotional intelligence, communication and conflict resolution. In fact, anything you can think of that's even slightly leadership related, you get to call in or to send in the messages through the Facebook Live broadcast, and we are going to be there answering your questions. Okay, back to the show. I started the first version of this show back in April 2009, and although the show has gone and changed over the years, it's always been about getting beneath the surface of the leaders that I interview. My job has always been to assist my guests in getting naked and comfortable enough to reveal the good stuff to you. This is the 300th show! Yes, the 300th. Woo! This is the 300th episode of the show, Leadership and Loyalty, and then we chat with leaders. Now, today we're going to chat about why leaders need a brand, and if you're going to start a business and considering starting a business, what it takes to go from zero, in fact, less than zero, to almost a million in less than a year. Welcome to Leadership and Loyalty Tips for Executives, part of the Full Monty Leadership Series. I'm your host, Dov Barron, founder of Full Monty Leadership. And if you're a new listener, new viewer, thank you for joining us. Strap yourself in. We're about to go full Monty. If you're a regular, thank you for being a fan of the show. Thank you for sharing the show with everybody you know. We've had almost 1.5 million downloads, and we're very grateful to you for that. As always, we need you to keep us relevant, so get yourself over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. All right, let's strip it down and dive right in. Imagine that you were brought up by a mom who seemed to be perpetually in struggle. Some of you don't have to imagine that. I know I don't. Your mom might have constantly been on welfare, and as a result, you would have been surrounded by others who lived in that welfare mentality. If that was the case, wouldn't being on welfare or working in a minimum wage job just seem like the only realistic options? But what if you got this crazy-ass idea that you could create a business, and what's more, you could become a highly in-demand expert in your field? Sound crazy? Well, my guest today is Kimra Luna. Yes, you may not have heard of her name. She's that wild woman waving at you right now with her bright blue hair and punk rock style. She's probably the last person that you'd expect to become a millionaire, or for that matter, be profiled but in the Huffington Post, Business Insider, or on Forbes.com. She's a modern-day rags-to-riches story. A 30-year-old mother of three, Kimra went from growing up on welfare to becoming a highly sought-after personal branding and social media expert, earning over $1 million in her first 18 months in business. She now leads a community of over 90,000 entrepreneurs. Since starting her business in May 2014, like 10 minutes ago, she has been interviewed by some of the biggest names online, business world, including Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm sure you've heard of Gary. Pat Flynn, Lewis Howes. She speaks on topics such as social media marketing, personal branding, and how to create customers and clients who are fiercely loyal and become raving fans. Please put your hands together and welcome Kimra Luna. Woo!
Hi, thank you for having me. This is very exciting to be on the 300th episode.
Yeah, I feel like we should both be like, you know, naked and showing our abs and holding shields and knives, you know, being the 300.
I know. I love that movie 300. I watched it multiple times in the theater. Everyone was like, why do you love it so much? I'm like, I don't know. It's just awesome.
We are the warriors. Yes. So let's go to the root. Let's go to the, you know, I just said that, you know, I gave that background of how you grew up. What gave you the idea that you could become an expert that people were looking for when it comes to social media marketing or personal branding? How did you get even the idea that you could do that?
So it started off in like 2013-ish, where I had already been on welfare as an adult too. So I was on welfare as a kid. Then I was on welfare as an adult, and living at my in-laws' house with my husband and my two kids. And in 2013, we finally got off of welfare. So we were like, yay, my husband got a stable job. And we were like, you know, just making it by. And I became a bored housewife. Like, we moved to a new state and in Virginia, and we had like no friends, no family. And I was just kind of bored. So I was like, you know what? Like, I have all these Facebook groups, and I only had a phone. I didn't even have a computer. So I only had my phone, and I was like running, you know, mommy Facebook groups on Facebook. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start a blog. Right. So I say to my husband, I think we should buy an iMac. And he's like, an iMac. And I'm like, well, I want to do it right. You know, if I'm going to like go all in on this blog thing, like I want to do it right. I want to get like a nice computer. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to learn everything I need to know. And I'm going to have this cool blog. So I start this blog, and it was like a health and wellness mom's blog. And I taught things about essential oils and like, you know, how to make like different like healthy recipes, or like make healthy versions of like, you know, like goldfish crackers, like how to make them without preservatives. You know, like I just did all these sorts of things, and just things I was just interested in as a mom. And I started growing a pretty big following, and primarily my following grew on my YouTube channel and on my Pinterest account. And that was when like the momentum just kept going and going and going. Like I didn't pay for advertising, and I was able to get over 100,000 views a month to this blog. And people were like, how is this happening? And one of my friends is, he's been in online business for a long time. He was a family friend. And he says, you need to teach my audience how you're getting all this traffic. So I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, you know, like we do this Google Hangout thing. You can like talk on it, and like you can just tell us like everything, like what you know about this stuff. So I was like, okay. And he's like, oh, and you got to do it tomorrow. And I'm like, tomorrow? And he's like, well, I do my shows on Wednesday. You know, like you gotta be on it tomorrow. And this was on a Google Hangout. So he invited me to be on a Google Hangout. And they were pretty new at the time, I think. So it was like 2013. So yeah, so I think they're pretty new at the time. And so I get on this presentation. I didn't even have a slide presentation because I didn't even know how to use Keynote or PowerPoint or anything. Like I know how to put stuff on my blog and like record little videos with my iPhone, but that was like it. Like I was never super, super techie, right? And I knew how to use Pinterest, which is very easy. You just pin stuff, you know? So anyways, I did this training and for his audience, and everyone was blown away. They were like, oh my gosh, like you were such a good trainer. Like you should be teaching people how to do all this stuff, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, what? I didn't know people would like it so much. And afterwards, people actually hired me to help them with their social media. And the thing that happened at that moment though was, it wasn't necessarily their social media that was so bad. It was actually their whole brand. It was like their websites were really crappy, and like people couldn't even figure out how to check out with the checkout cards. I mean, there were just so many of these things. So that's when I started becoming more of like a branding person, and I wanted to help people from their brand, like from scratch all the way through. Yes, social media is part of it. And even a person who has a job, your Facebook page, that's your brand. You know what I mean? Like people know you from that. And even when I started my blog, all of my friends had the same interest as me. So they all ended up being followers of my blog, you know? So it really just evolved on its own. And eventually I created my first digital course, and nobody bought it though. Because my audience was all these people that just wanted recipes and stuff. Like it wasn't people that wanted to learn how to like grow a blog or grow a business. So I ended up scrapping that blog, even though I had tons of followers. I ended up scrapping the whole thing and starting my own personal brand, where I teach people how to do basically all the knowledge that's in my head.
So when when your friend asks you to go on and talk about how you developed all that traffic, had you consciously been aware of what you'd done, or you just sort of did it by feel when you started out?
I didn't know that it was such a big deal. Like I didn't know at least the quantity of traffic. I thought like, oh, I'm just doing like, okay. Like there's people commenting on my blog post. You know what I mean? Like I didn't really know the scale of it, because like I wasn't doing it to like make a ton of money. I made little bits of money from like affiliate links here and there, but it wasn't like I wasn't like trying to build like some big business, right? But apparently I had so much knowledge and they were just like, you need to teach people all these things that you know. And I was like, I guess I'll do that.
But what I mean is that there are people starting out every day, right? Mm-hmm. They don't get to 100,000 views a month. They don't get to those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Where did you get, was it intuitive? Where did you get this sense that you could just do that? That you know, because there's a million options online, and now with, you know, Facebook ads and you weren't even paying for ads. How did you know what to go for?
It was just what I liked to do. Pinterest was what mommies use. Like, all my mommy friends, that's what we use. I still use Pinterest. Like, I'm pinning stuff on boards all the time. Like, oh, baby onesies, and I'm just pinning like 100 of them. Like, that's just what I used. And so, and then I loved YouTube because I loved like other YouTubers that I would watch. So I would just hold up my phone and make YouTube videos. I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a bunch of YouTube videos. Me, my family, my kids, showing people how to make recipes, showing people how to make smoothies. Like, it was really just what I was having fun with anyway that I would like to do, and I just kept doing it. And even the same thing now, like I've built my entire current business like using Facebook. I'm a Facebook junkie. Like, that's the reason why I built it on Facebook. Like, it was just a platform where I was already at and a place that I loved. And I had already built Facebook groups for a long time. So I was like, oh, well, with my new business, I'll build a Facebook group. And now there's 30,000 people on my Facebook group, and there's 50,000 people on my business page, you know, plus tons of other people on other social medias. So, but it's just because I loved Facebook groups. And there was people like, oh, I don't like Facebook groups. I'm like, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. You know, like I like to just do what I enjoy, and I stick with that. And it's always worked for me.
So what would you say to let's go about the person who is a C-suite individual, they work in corporate America, or they used to work in corporate America, they're mm-hmm. breaking out, they're probably not Facebookers, they're probably not YouTubers, they maybe are on Twitter, they may be on, definitely more likely LinkedIn. To be on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You know, where do they need to start? To sort of, because even as a business person myself, I don't think of business and Facebook. I have a lot of people on Facebook who follow me, and I have lots of different groups, but I don't think of that as a business place as such. Where would you say to them to start?
It really depends on what they're going for and who their clients are going to be. If their client is going to be maybe somebody who's in corporate, then utilizing their LinkedIn and network is where they'd be able to find clients. Because even to have clients or make a six-figure income from home, you don't necessarily need to have massive social media followings. You can do that all from networking, building relationships with people, connecting with people that you know. As long as you're not burning a bunch of bridges, you know, that's definitely an important thing. Don't be burning lots of bridges if you're, you know, planning on leaving a corporate job or planning on starting a side gig. But you definitely want to make sure that you utilize the network that you have. I think people forget to just ask, or they forget to have conversations with people. I mean, the things that come up for me, like, even here, like, I moved here to Manhattan, and I'll just go to lunch with somebody, and I'm sometimes in complete shock with the things that they actually do. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm actually looking for a person like that. Like, let's network. Or I have a friend that's looking for a person that does what you do. And helping people out, scratching each other's backs, like, that stuff goes a long way. But the thing is a lot of times people, they're afraid to say what they do. Like, I have a lot of friends who actually work jobs, but then they're like, oh, but I'm a closet stylist. Like, you know, like on the side, they're like being a stylist for their friends. Or on the side, I'm like a health guru, you know, like, right. So it's, I think a lot of people, we have these little side gigs, and sometimes we're afraid to go for them because we're afraid of like what people at our jobs are going to think about us, or what our Facebook friends are going to think about us, or like, well, who do you think you are? You're not an expert. But the thing is if you know something more than another person, you are the expert in that.
So,
you know,
let me stop you there, because I think that's something that everybody has to really pay attention to, because I think you know, we are a very different world than we used to be. The world of jobs, I think, is a fool's errand. Education is designed for a post-industrial world. We're not post-industrial anymore. This is the age of information and entrepreneurship. And in that context, I think what you just said is very important, is the recognition that if you know more than the person you are serving, you are the expert. We have something called the Authentic Speakers Academy for Leadership, and one of our simple principles is this. You are here to serve those who are 1 to 3 steps behind you. That's it. Not people who are 10,000 steps behind you. And I think that that's oftentimes what stops people from getting out there in the world. And, you know, and what I love about what you're doing here, Kimra, is you got out there knowing that, like some intuitive, I don't know what the hell it was, but something in you didn't go, oh, well, I don't have a degree from XYZ University. I haven't done this or that or gone through the traditional challenge. I wasn't part of the Manhattan advertising world. You know, you've not gone that traditional path, but somehow you got it in your brain that you could serve people who were just behind you, 2, 3, 4 steps behind you. How did you get that mindset?
I've always been a natural teacher. Like, even when I was in elementary school, if the other kids in class didn't understand something, I would be the kid that all the kids would be like turning their heads towards, like, Kimra, explain this to us. You know, like I was always that kid. And I've always really enjoyed teaching. Like, I enjoyed teaching my kids. I was like homeschooling. Like, I loved teaching. And I was like, okay, like, I'm also a person who loves absorbing knowledge. When I was in high school, I spent my money on VHS documentaries. Like, that's like, other kids are buying CDs and I was buying VHS documentaries. Like, that's like how, like, I love absorbing information.
See,
and so
this is where you and I have a lot in common. My wife goes out for a night out with her girlfriends. Right? And she comes back and her girlfriends laugh because she said, what do you do? I have stayed home. And what did you do? Did you watch a movie? No, I watched a documentary on quantum physics. I watched a, I'm watching, like, these, you know, I watched a biography. I'm like so excited that I learned.
Yeah.
I'm watching documentaries. And like people are like, well, didn't you watch like House of Cards? No. Why?
Yeah. That's exactly how I am. And I knew that I had information in my head. And I remember Brendan Burchard specifically, I was watching his YouTube channel and he has, you know, lots of different books on like motivation and all sorts of stuff. He's an author. And he said the expert industry is the biggest industry in the world. And I was just like, well, I want to be a part of that industry, you know, like, sounds pretty cool. Like, what is this? You know, like, and so I started like diving deeper and I started like following other people that had these online businesses, and some of them had like really great backgrounds. Like my one guy that I followed, been following for years, and he's now a friend. Like he was like an architect before, but then, you know, like the economy crashed and like things happened to him. And a lot of these people, when the economy crashed in 2008, 2009 here in the States, like a lot of people shifted to just like being consultants, so to speak. You know, like they were just like trying to make money however possible way they could. And then that's kind of like how this whole online business thing started growing. And when I started hearing these people's stories, a lot of times the things that they were even teaching had nothing to do with even their background necessarily.
Right.
You know, like they were just like, hey, I just became skilled at this, so I wanted to teach it. Like this guy was like, oh, I'm going to teach people how to teach food trucks to build their businesses. Like if someone has a food truck, how to get more customers to their food truck. And they just became an expert in that. And then they started selling programs on how to do it. And then they made lots of money. And I was just like, wow, like I have tons of knowledge in my head. I've been like an obsessive knowledge person. Like when I was actually on welfare living at my in-law's house, basically all I did was watch Netflix and like learn stuff. And all I would do is be on the internet, like researching stuff. Like my mother-in-law was always like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, researching. Whatever. Like I was always like researching constantly. And so I'm now able to use like this kind of obsession with like learning and obsession with like having all this knowledge. I'm able to share my experience, share how to apply that knowledge and show other people like how it works. And I think a lot of people have way more experience in a lot of things than they give themselves credit for.
Yeah,
like I have a person who's a student in my program and I didn't even know she has like a master's degree. She has like 2 master's degrees actually. One is in business and like all this stuff. And she's like hesitating to get out there. I'm just like, you are like a freaking genius. Like you know way more stuff than I even know. Like get your butt out there. So I think people have a lot of skills and they they're afraid to let those skills shine. But when they shine, it's all about just serving people. Like, I think sometimes people think like, oh, it's like me, but really it's about the people you serve.
Absolutely.
Because you're helping those people have results, or you're giving a service to those people. It's about who you're helping. It's not really about you.
Right. Now, I know it's only been a few years since you started, mm-hmm. but the business has transformed.
Yes.
You know, it's from being nothing to being in the millions now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, do you feel like the same thing gets you out of bed in the morning as it did
yes.
when you started? What is that? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
My Facebook group. My Freedom Hackers Mastermind Facebook group. Every single morning, I literally, that's what makes me excited. Like seeing my community asking questions, people wanting to go out and serve, that's what makes me get out of bed every single day. Like I'm inspired by them. I get asked all the time, like, what inspired you? I'm like, my community. Like, those are the people that inspire me. Like, I don't have to be like looking up here to all these other people. I'm looking for these people that they want to help others. And to me, that is so admirable. And I want to do the best that I can in order to serve them. And that's how it's been since I started. Another thing, of course, is my family. You know, I want to be able to provide a great life for my family. You know, my son, we moved here to Manhattan. We live in this beautiful high-rise building. And, you know, my son, he's 7, and he's, you know, able to go to the karate classes he wants to go to. He has a private tutor that teaches him anything he wants, like teaching him stuff about robots and stuff. You know, like my kids are able to, you know, learn the things that they want to learn, and they're not going to be held back by limitations of like lack of, you know, opportunity or lack of money. And that makes me really proud, because, you know, when I was a kid, I was like the kid like begging my mom to give me a guitar, or like begging my mom to put me in dance class. But she was like, oh, we don't have the money, you know? And so it was like, womp womp, you know what I mean? And I don't want my kids to feel that disappointment.
Let's go to that. Because, you know, I talked about at the beginning that you'd grown up in that environment. I too, grew up in extreme poverty. I grew up in a ghetto. So I know that it's more than a family. It's a community, and it's a mindset. And in Australia, we have a term that is called tall poppy syndrome. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. But what it means is that if your head pops up above everybody else, somebody wants to whack it off. Because, you know, you get told things like, in that mentality, you get told things like, you're getting too big for your boots, and don't think so much of yourself, and all those kinds of shitty messages that are about actually keeping you repressed and keeping you down. Do you think there was a conscious shift for you in moving out of that mentality? Were you one point in it and then you moved out of it? Or, you know, tell us, what was it for you?
Yeah, I was definitely in it for a long time, especially as a little kid. You know, like I was a kid that like didn't want to shine. Like I was most people would be like, oh my gosh, you're so extroverted. When I was a little girl, I was extremely introverted. I didn't say a freaking word to anybody because I was afraid to speak my voice and speak my truth. And, you know, I wasn't in a family where people were really particularly nice to me, you know, and definitely did try to dim my shine at any time possible. So I remember a specific book that I read in high school where the pastor at my church actually gave it to me. And my city is like everybody went to church. It's like everybody was like Mormon or like Christian or something. And so I went to like this, you know, youth group church like on Wednesday nights. And the pastor gave me this book, and it was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teenagers. And it was all about prioritizing. And, you know, most of the books seem more to be relating to like, prioritizing your sports or what, you know, your grades or whatever. And I was just like, my priorities is to not be anything like my family and to help as many people as possible. Like that was my only priorities. Like everybody else was like, to get straight A's. I'm like, I don't care about freaking straight A's. Like I just want to help people. And I remember in my theater class, my sophomore year of high school, we had to do a 2-minute, either it had to be a monologue or it had to be something where we acted out in my theater class what we wanted to be when we grew up. So I wrote a 2-minute motivational speech. And so I went up on stage and I did a little motivational speech. I had the whole thing memorized. I did the whole thing. It was really cool. It was very, very nerve-wracking. I was like completely drenched in sweat by the end of it and beat red. But some kid was like, "You want to be Tony Robbins?" Like, and I was just like, "Who is that?" Like, I didn't even know who that was. Right. You know, it didn't even occur to me back then either, because like I didn't really use the internet much and things like that back in high school. So it was like, I was like, it's kind of like the name just like left me. And then when I became an adult and I met my husband when I was 20, he reintroduced me to this law of attraction thing. Like he was like, "Here, read this book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind." And then somebody mentions the name Tony Robbins. I was like, I heard that name. Like when I was like a teenager, like somebody said that to me, you know, that name. And it was just like it was something in me when I was a teenager that was just like, I want to do something else. Right. And I left my town like the minute I could get out. I graduated high school. I was gone 2 weeks later. Like, I was just like, peace out. Like, I didn't have a job, nothing. I was just like, bye. Like, you know, like, I was just out of my town. Like, I just didn't want to be there anymore. And I always knew, like, had a knowing that there was something bigger for my life. And,
tell us about that. Tell us about that sense of knowing that there was something bigger. I want to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the knowingness was even from when I was, a tiny little girl. Like, I always felt very different than people. I felt like I just didn't fit in. And I remember one time I was on an interview and someone asked me, they were like, "Oh, well, when you were a teenager, like, why did you decide to like start dressing punk rock and all sorts of stuff?" And I was like, "Oh, because I tried fitting in with everybody and it didn't work. Like, I tried very hard to fit in and like wear the normal clothes and have the straight A's and like be the good, you know, the kid that just fit in with everybody else. No one even wanted to be friends with me anyway. So I was just like, fine, I'll just wear whatever the heck I want, like look like all crazy." And it worked out even better. Like, I actually became happier. I became like, I got to figure out my own identity. But I knew I was always different. Like, and I remember when I was a kid, I used to actually pray that I would have a different family. Like, I really wanted a different family because I was like, I'm not like these people. Like, they don't. It's like I felt like nobody could comprehend me. Like, nobody could understand me. Nobody could get Kimra Luna. They just couldn't get me. And that's why right after high school, I was like, sayonara, everybody. And I haven't visited Idaho, where I'm from. I haven't even visited there in 7 years. Right. So it's like literally, it's like, peace out. Like I'll see you guys on the flip side or see you on Facebook or something. But back then there wasn't even Facebook anyway. But yeah, it was just like, I just knew that there was something different inside of me. And I felt like, you know, one day I'm going to, you know, do something big. I didn't know what it was, but I knew something would eventually happen. And even now, you know, my brand has been growing very rapidly. And, you know, I have like books that are going to be coming out and all sorts of other things that are going to be reaching an even bigger, larger audience than even what I have now. And it makes me really excited to know that, you know, I can use my story and use my gifts to inspire people and help other people, you know, figure out like, hey, like I have gifts too, and I want to share them with the world. And I think it's something that's kind of an underlying thing of humans is wanting to help others. And we now live in a world where it's like, you can help others and get paid for helping others, you know, like, because we have social media and we have online, we have the internet, you know? So, you know, it used to be harder to do that. Now it's so easy. You know, they have websites where you can just like post like, "Hey, like I want to do this." And someone's like, "Okay, you're hired." You know, like, you know, we can start actually making money doing the things that we enjoy, and we can serve others and share our gifts.
What do you believe is the number one thing that most people don't understand about having a brand? What's the biggest misconception?
I would say they think it's really hard. It's not actually as hard as you think. It's really just talking to people and getting in front of people and knowing your message and what you want to put in front of people.
But don't you think that's hard for people to know what their message is?
Yeah, sometimes that can be hard. And the reason why is because we get lost in a lot of things. Like, even myself, when I became a mother, I became lost in being a mother. Sure. Like, I forgot different things that I was like really passionate about. And like, you know, so sometimes you have to do a lot of inflection, I guess is what the word is for it. But like internal, you know, reflection, where you can't, you know, you figure out like, hey, like these are the things I really cared about when I was a teenager. These are the things I really care about even now, but maybe I haven't been telling people about. Another thing too is people don't realize they have so many strengths. And so a good activity to do is actually ask your friends and family members what you're actually good at. Like if you have close friends, be like, hey, if you were to hire me for something, like something that I just do, what would you hire me for? And a lot of times they'll be like, oh, well, you're really great at interior decorating. And they'll be like, wow, I am? Yeah, your house is decorated all super nice, you know. And they'll tell you these things, and you're just like, wow. You know, and that right there is a skill that you have, a gift that you have, and you could become an interior decorator even though you're working a job right now. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you can become that. And nowadays, you don't have to be certified in everything to become that. You don't have to go to school to become an interior designer. Like, no, you don't, you know. You can just be really skilled at it and then go and get clients.
But so, when it comes to the brand piece, I think it's very difficult to become, for people to grasp the how to be consistent at a brand.
Yeah.
Particularly for people who are potentially multi-talented and have more than one gift or more than one thing. How do you help those people to sort of hone down what their brand is? Because, you know, you said yourself, you started out as the mummy and the health and those kinds of things, and that led to social media, and that's led to personal branding. Those are four different categories of which one could say, well, you know, what's your brand? Now, obviously, your brand has shifted and it's evolved, but how do you get somebody like yourself who's got multiple facets that they can bring to the market? How do you get them to hone to the one, if there is a one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. It has to be something you're kind of obsessed with, like that you are so obsessed, like if even if a year later you're not making a ton of money with it, you'd still enjoy it. Right? Like if in a year from that, from the time you start, you're not enjoying it anymore, then that wasn't the thing, you know? Cause you have to have grit as a person that wants to be an entrepreneur and have an online brand. You have to have a little bit of that grit and that tenacity to keep going.
Yep.
And then also it has to be something people actually want to buy. A lot of people make the mistake of they start a brand around, you know, selling just koala bears, but how many people really actually want the little koala bear toy? There's a niche market for it, yes, but you might actually make more money if you're selling multiple types of toys. You know what I mean? So there's things you have to know the market and know what people actually really want, because you can't go out there and be like, oh, hey, I do this service, and then people are just like, nobody needs that service. You know what I mean?
How do people find that out? How do they find out what is the, you know, like I said, they've got multiple things, but how do they find out the one that people want?
Yeah. So if they have a particular service or some sort of thing they want to provide people, you have to ask. Asking is the number one thing. So you have to literally go to people and say, hey, I have an idea for this particular thing. Is that something you might actually be interested in? And if you get at least 20 to 30 people saying like, yes, that I would be interested in buying that. That sounds like a really cool concept, or that sounds like a really cool service. I need that service. Like, pay, like how do I pay you? You know, like if people are actually wanting to pay you for that, then yes. And then there's also my buddy Pat Flynn. He has a book that's called Will It Fly? And it's a really great resource for people to read the book, and it helps you learn how to test out a product idea or a service idea. And it helps you be able to like get in front of like a small bit of audience and you can test and see if people will actually purchase it. And a lot of people, they'll start this whole brand and they'll spend tons of money building these fancy websites and all these big photo shoots, and then they'll have this service and they put it out there, and then they're like, nobody's buying my service. Right. You know? And I'm just like, well, because you didn't ask people first. You didn't test it out first. So I highly recommend that book, Will It Fly? By Pat Flynn. He's one of my mentors, a person I've looked up to for a long time. And when he came out the book, I was like, this is genius. You know, like everybody needs to read this book, you know, because you have to know. Because even when I had my health and wellness blog, that wasn't making me money. Like it wasn't making me the money that I wanted to make, even though I was able to get a lot of traffic and things. I still hadn't figured it out. But that's because I was just throwing things at it.
Right.
I wasn't testing things out as properly like I should have, which is now what I do with my current brand. I test things out and ask people like, hey, like, would you actually buy this? Sometimes I even pre-sell it and like, okay, you know, we have about 15 people buying this. This seems like it's a good course to go. You know, right. Maybe I'll finish with the creation of it. So it's all, and that's why things like Kickstarter are really good. You know, a lot of people, they create the prototypes first and then they put it on Kickstarter, and then, you know, if it starts building the momentum there, then they know like, okay, we need to actually produce this product and ship it out to people. So, yeah.
So you started off, like I said, it's only been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you obviously gained massive amount of momentum very fast. Then you got approached by people like Business Insider, Yahoo, Forbes, the Huffington Post. Who was the first one that you went, oh my God, they want to talk to me? Who was the first one of those?
Well, I actually pitched all of them. So,
so you followed your own advice and you asked.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah. So it's like I pitched all of them and I had the expectation that they would say yes. There's definitely a lot of no's I've gotten, which sometimes the no's have actually shocked me more than that the person actually said yes. Because I'm just like, I seem kind of perfect for your audience, but okay. You know, so I have gotten some no's, even no's for even podcast interviews and things like that. And actually one guy, when I was first starting out, I'd asked to be on his podcast and he turned me down because, you know, I didn't have, you know, a big enough audience and all this, you know, whatever his excuses were, right? And turns out he's one of my close friends now. So it was just, but I mean, I was first starting out, so it made sense that I was declined a lot more back then than I am now. But yeah, like when the Forbes.com article came out, that one kind of went viral. That was actually surprising to me. And it actually spread even through like all my like people I knew from my high school. So I became kind of like a hometown kind of name from Nampa, Idaho, where I'm from. And so that was pretty interesting because I started getting some like random messages from people like, hey, do you remember me from high school? And like all this stuff. And one guy actually messaged me and was like, oh, like, I love seeing what you're doing. I was like, you were the biggest jerk to me in high school ever. Like, why are you messaging me? I blocked him. So I was like, I don't even want you to message me. But it was just like, I don't know. That was really kind of a surreal thing because like everybody like saw, like, and I mean, I didn't really care if everybody saw or not. Like, I mean, I wasn't doing like being on there to like boast, but it's more like I just wanted to have my story out there to share with people so that it could be inspiring to people. Because where I'm from in Idaho, most people don't become anything. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be like, oh, I want to be a professional musician. And then they stay in Idaho their whole life, and then they're never a professional musician. You know, because they stayed in Idaho. They didn't go anywhere, you know? Right. So, you know, for them to be able to see something like that, I just hope that it inspires some people from my town to be like, hey, like, I want to go out there and I want to do something. There was another person who actually just messaged – this was like 2 weeks ago. They just messaged me and they said, hey, I was in like your summer school with you in high school, because in summer – at our high school, you didn't necessarily have to take summer school if you were like a bad kid. So if you had straight A's, you could actually take advanced classes in summer school. Oh, so right. I was in, you know, fancy smancy AP psychology or whatever. And so this girl had messaged me and she said, I remember in high school – in summer school, you specifically said in the class, like, well, I'm going to be a millionaire when I grow up. And everybody was just like, oh my God, camera, like rolling their eyes, all this sorts of stuff. And she's like, and now you became that. She's like, I'm so inspired by you. She's like, now I need to get my butt out of Idaho, like all this stuff. And I was just like, wow, like, I'm really glad, you know, like she like saw my story because she was able to like message me and tell me that. And yes, people did think I was a little crazy in high school. I will say that. Because I was definitely out there and had a bit of a different mindset going on than other people. You know, when I'm telling people like, oh, I just want to inspire people for a living. And the counselor's like, you crazy girl. And I'm like, hey, Oprah does it. You know, like, you know, so.
She's done all right.
Yeah, she's doing pretty good, I think. Yeah. Just she's a little bit good.
I think she got off welfare last week.
Yeah.
So did you pitch Gary? You were on the Gary with Gary Vaynerchuk. Did you pitch him or did they approach you?
Well, I pitched him to actually be on my show. So I actually ended up interviewing him, which was Then later he interviewed me, so we kind of like swapped. But yeah, so I interviewed him on my show, and I've interviewed a few like really cool people on my show recently. I recently interviewed these chicks named Elena and Francesca, and they have this book called Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, and they were like the top ever producing Kickstarter for a children's book. So they made like $1 million on Kickstarter for a children's book. And now I'm really able to like start connecting with these types of people and like asking them to be on my show now, because I was like, hey, like I wanted to start a show just because some of these people, they don't even have platforms where I could be interviewed by them. So I'm like, but I want to interview them in return. And I have an interview coming up with this woman. Her name is Chloe, and she has a restaurant called By Chloe. And they have two restaurants here in New York City. They have one in Los Angeles. And they're opening up another one here. And she's been able to like grow like this super amazing brand around it. And so I'm just like, hey, like I want to interview you. And she's just like, all right. So now it's like I'm kind of going after people that like that have interesting stories and things like that, because I want to help inspire more people, because I mean, there's all different types of backgrounds, you know, like not everybody has the same background as me. And I want to hear kind of some of the background stories and bring more people in to inspire others as well.
What do you, if you were to, because you've, like you said, you've accelerated very fast. What would be your one piece of sort of punch in the nose advice to somebody who is starting out, to somebody who is, you know, because for me, leadership is on different levels. There's personal leadership, leadership mm-hmm. of self, and there's leadership of others. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you've become, you know, you've obviously led yourself in that you broke away from your environment. You've led yourself into a successful career. And now you lead others in that you teach and such. If you could sort of give one piece of leadership advice, what would that be?
It would be to always be yourself. I think sometimes when you are a leader, you can feel almost like you can never be vulnerable, or you can never have a bad day, you know? And I feel like sometimes, like if I'm having a bad day, I'm able to tell my audience like, hey, I'm having a rough day today. Like nobody tagged me on Facebook, you know, like, and I'm happy that my audience understands that of me, right? Because it lets them know, like, your journey is not perfect. Everybody has ups and downs. And I think sometimes people, they'll start growing like a big social media following, and then they're like afraid to ever say like when something good isn't happening, you know, like, sure. I recently, there was a big YouTuber that I follow, and her, all of her accounts got hacked online. And they ended up changing all the passwords, and they got hacked again, and like all, you know, like she was just getting attacked, you know, and she's like, and then this in the same week, she hears that her grandpa was ill, and then like she's like, it just kept piling up, and she's, you know, like she's like, I'm a leader, I have millions of followers, but she's like, you know, I wanted to make a video to let you guys know, like, I have crap weeks too. You know, everybody has it, and I feel like when you become a leader, you need to let people know, like, it's not perfect every single time. There's bad days, there's good days, there's amazingly awesome days where it's just like, oh my gosh, like this is the most amazing day of my life. You know, so I really feel like we need more authentic when it comes to like building brands. Everybody thinks like everything needs to be perfectly polished, and you know, and it's, life isn't like that. Business isn't like that. I mean, I was growing my business when I was pregnant. I was nauseated the entire pregnancy. I was doing webinar presentations where I literally had to stop and vomit inside of a trash can in the middle of a webinar presentation. Yes. I was like, hey, everyone, I'm going to mute this real fast. Muted it, bent over to the trash can, and was like, took a drink of water, was like, okay, guys, keep going. And everyone's like, what happened? I'm just like, oh, never mind. And then eventually later I told everybody. But it was just still, it was like, there's not everything's gonna be pretty, not everything's gonna be clean, and you can't expect it to be.
You and I are definitely singing the same tune. My whole thing is around authentic leadership, and one of my central tenets of that is that vulnerability is power, particularly in this day and age. And if you don't mm-hmm. know how to be vulnerable and share your shit as well as your fabulous stuff, then people are not going to trust you. And
I think this trust.
Trust comes from vulnerability. And mm-hmm. the analogy that I share with people all the time, and I think it's important, is that, you know, I ask people, I do this in the corporate world. I'll say, you know, because get a lot of, you can imagine the corporate world, we get a lot of resistance to this idea of vulnerability. And I say, mm-hmm. okay, so, you know, I'm talking to the CEO and I say, let me ask you a question. When you picture somebody in your mind who's a really good, loyal friend, okay? Now I want you to pick somebody who's an acquaintance. And they go, okay. And I go, what's the difference between the two people? And very often they'll say, time. And I go, yeah, but have you never met anybody that you felt instantly bonded to? And they go, yeah, I did. So it's not time. Time could be affected, but it's not always. Yeah, so mm-hmm. I said, well, what else is it? And they go, I don't know. And I said, I'll tell you what it is. And they go, what? I said, your close friends are the people who know you at your worst and at your best. You know their shit and they mm-hmm. know your shit. And that vulnerability is what creates the bond. And it's that same thing in a brand, is that vulnerability is what creates the bond. And so we're definitely singing the same tune. It's that's the power that I think that so many people forget. I you know, I've been doing this for 30 plus years. I've had a show for 7 years. And in the summer last year, in the spring rather this year, I did a whole thing on anxiety because I'd been struggling with anxiety. And people see me as the least anxious guy in the world. But it's like, yeah, you know, I got shit too. We all got it. And I think this is a powerful message that you're sharing, Kimmer. I think it's a vitally important one for people to grasp, is that your brand is your authenticity, and more so even your vulnerability in that authenticity. I love what you've had to say, and I really want to thank you for that. Please tell our listeners, our viewers, where they can find out more about you and your courses and such.
Yes, best place to find out about me is go to freedomhackers.com. I have a lot of free resources there that you can sign up for, lots of video trainings and things like that. I also have my online courses on the website as well, freedomhackers.com. And you could find me in my Facebook group, which is kind of my hangout spot. And if you just search Freedom Hackers on Facebook, you'll find the Freedom Hackers Mastermind group. Just click join, and someone on my team will add you as soon as they get a chance.
That's fantastic. I hope you'll stay with us for a few minutes. I'm just going to sign out, and then I'm going to come back to you. I really want to thank you for being on the show. You've been a great guest. It was a lot of fun, and I also found it very inspiring, and I'm really hoping that our viewers do the same. Because one of the things I say at the end of every show is, please don't watch this show. Please don't listen to this show. This is not entertainment. This is entertaining, but this is value. Watch it. Learn from it. Take notes on it. Use what you learn. Don't just watch it or listen to it. Use it. Because I really think what Kimmer shared with you is profoundly simple, yet profoundly powerful, and you can do this. Having said that, I want to thank Kimmer for being on the show. So it's been great having you here. I want to thank you, the viewer, the listener, and if you are truly serious about embracing the kind of positive disruption that builds a culture that develops the next generation of leaders into who they want and need to be, while becoming evangelical about your organization and the productivity created inside there, reach out to me through fullmontyleadership.com. And remember, I have a gift for you. You can get the Matrix, which is in beta. Matrix.fullmontyleadership.com. Matrix like the movie. Fullmontyleadership.com. And remember, on September 21st, I am going to be holding my marathon. Yes, we're going to have the marathon. You'll be able to speak to me for 12 straight hours. I don't expect you to stay on 12 hours. You may need to pee occasionally. I might even do the same. But you get to be on there and you get to ask me anything you want. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really interesting. It's going to be very exciting. I promise you, we're going to get some pretty meaty, fun stuff. I guarantee that to you. So thank you for joining us here on Leadership and Loyalty Tips for Executives, part of the Full Monty Leadership Interview Series. Again, I'm your host, Dov Barron. Thank you for sharing the show with everybody you know. And remember, as always, we need your help in staying relevant. So please go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And until next time, stay curious, my friends. Stay curious about how you can be just a little more authentic and recognizing the value that you can bring in your brand. Dov Barron, I'm out.